up to yonder, beyond the lights, neon, fluorescent. My essence is something to ponder. Your talent ain't something to squander. Blessed and favored so highly, anointed and portrait I might be. This is that all that podcast featuring Kyrie.
Welcome back, guys, to the All That Podcast. Doing a little different. This is our first Zoom interview. So, Jordan, you're making history. Right. All through lockdown, we didn't do Zoom. We still had people coming in or calling in, but this is the first time we did Zoom. Actually, you were one of the call-ins on last season.
Right. Was that not Zoom?
No, it was just a phone call. You literally called a landline and we talked. Yeah. But yeah. So today I wanted to have my friend Jordan on to talk about the very unique experience of being the oldest sibling, which is it comes with a lot, and so we're here to talk about it. So I guess first I'll ask you, at what age were you when you first realized that, hey, this oldest sibling thing has some responsibility that comes with it?
I was feeling that as soon as my mama got pregnant at 14.
Yeah.
Like, it's immediate. Like, as soon as she got pregnant, it was like, because she went on bed rest for both pregnancies within 4 to 5 months. Wow. So she was on bed rest for 4 months minimum for both children. And it's a lot because she still has to eat, you know, she still has to like do things and she needs help. And if your dad's working full time, and you're the oldest and the only, it's a lot.
Right. So I guess Hill was born first, obviously.
Yeah.
So when did your duties start? I know like when you were pregnant, you had to help out, but like when did we're leaving you home with them, Jordan, watch them. We'll see you later. When did that start?
No, that started, okay, so she had the baby between my 8th and 9th grade transition, so that summer. Mm. And she ended up going back to work because we had just moved to Katy from Baltimore. So we had been in Baltimore, Maryland for all of middle school. And then I started high school in Katy, Texas. And that summer before school started, she had a new job in Katy at Memorial Hermann. So I was responsible for Hill because Daddy hadn't moved from Baltimore yet. So Dad was still in Baltimore. And Mom was working full-time in Katy. And Dad was coming down, you know, after everything had kind of got settled. So it was just like a transitional period because we had to keep income. So Dad stayed working in Baltimore until he found a job in Katy. And then he moved. So until he made that move, I was Daddy. And Mom was at work.
Right.
And so, yeah. And then I still had school. So it was a summertime. So that was my full-time job until school started.
So how did you initially feel about these responsibilities? Were you like, I don't want to do this, or did you embrace it at the time?
At first, I was like, oh, this is so much fun. I got something to do. I got a baby. Like, I was really, really into it.
Yeah.
And then I had like a mini breakdown and I snapped. I remember just like, I had to be a good 2 to 3 months into summer at this point. And Mom was working full time. And I was just like, I had had enough. Like, I did not realize how stressful it was going to be until you're actually in it. And that's when she really, I don't know, when she seen me snap, because I had never in my life had like a breakdown. Even going through Katrina, I didn't even have a breakdown through that. But when I had to watch that baby every day, constantly, and I didn't really have much experience, you know, this is my first time being responsible for a human being. It's a lot.
Right.
And I had that little mini breakdown. And then we hired some help.
Gotcha. So when did you, feel that most people care about their siblings, but when did you recognize that extra, you know, caring that, you know, you're worried about them more than that you had to be because you're the older sister. Like, they had a mom and a dad at the time, you know. So when did you feel like, you know, whoa, like, I really am invested in these people beyond just being their sibling?
Honestly, honestly, this transitional period this year mm-hmm. has really opened my eyes to the fact that I am their mom. Like, right. As much as I don't, and as much as people tell me, no, you're not, mm-hmm. you're not their mom, you know, you're just their sister, go do your own thing. Like, it's to the point where, because I feel such a responsibility for them, I can't sleep. Like, right. I'm worried about them in my sleep. And when I recognize that, or I recognize I wasn't able to eat because I'm two states away from them and I don't know what's going on every day, or I'm sitting here trying to schedule their week out, but I'm two states away, or I'm sitting here trying to make sure that they eat, but mm-hmm. I'm two states away. Me being two states away is what really put the nail in the coffin for me that I can't do it this way. Mm-hmm. Like, they physically need me around and to be a presence.
Let me backtrack right quick. So another reason, you know, I wanted you on the show, other than the fact that I was there for those years of you becoming an older sibling, but also you have a very unique situation. Right. You have a very unique situation that even I don't have. With you kind of alluded to, but for the audience, Jordan's mom passed away 2 years ago.
Yeah, we're looking at 2019, 2 years.
Yeah, so 2 years ago. And now Jordan, like you said, you don't necessarily have to, you know, fill that role, but you take it on. And so talk about dealing with the passing of your mother, coupled with the fact that now you feel the responsibility not to replace her, because that's not, no. But
that's impossible.
Impossible, right? Not to replace her, but to kind of fill in her shoes. Yeah, the void there. So talk about having to deal with the grief and having to step up and man up, or woman up, and take care of your siblings.
So that's a lot. Like,
yeah.
Grief is one thing, mm-hmm. but like anticipated grief, or the fact that you're waiting, or okay, so it was cancer, but I keep forgetting. I'm talking to you.
You're right, but you're talking to the world
right,
too.
But I'm not talking to you. So,
yeah.
Cancer, you know what I mean? She was diagnosed in February with stage 2, and then within 2 weeks, it went from stage 2 to stage 4. And just to literally watch someone that you love wither mm-hmm. and die in front of you, it's like, it's crazy, because you want that person to be in some type of comfort or peace, but you don't want them to die. So it's like, it's not just normal grief. And to be honest, had it been something like a car accident or a heart attack or something immediate, I don't know if I could have handled it that way. Like, with the fact that we were able to talk to her and figure out what she wanted for her life and what, like, she was able to walk into death versus it just being like, immediate.
Right.
And watching that, and then watching how it affects your loved ones, it's like, it's just a crazy experience. It's a crazy feeling. And I don't have much to explain it, because it's one of those things that you just have to experience yourself.
Right.
And so walking into her shoes through that, it's almost like it's what I'm supposed to do. Like, it doesn't feel, it just feels scary, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? But it feels right.
Right.
Because it's just, do you ever just feel like you know your journey, or like mm-hmm. if you feel like you're doing the right thing, it just works.
So like, yeah, you don't necessarily feel like it's a job. You just feel like it's just a natural progression of your life.
It feels like it's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And when I'm doing something else, I feel uncomfortable. So me staying in Mississippi and working on moving back home gives me peace.
Right.
Like, knowing that I'm on my way to moving back home, it alleviated so much stress. But all the stress came from trying to make it work in Mississippi and knowing that my role for my human life is in Katie. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting here trying to do my own thing or trying to make it work for me, and I'm not following my life plan. And now that I am, it's just this peace. Like, I don't even have words to describe it. There's no stress. There's no, like, headaches. There's no body aches. You know what I mean? There's none of those symptoms that come from being overwhelmed and being stressed.
Right.
So it just feels right. And then what's crazy is when you're with your tribe or when you're with your people, it just, you just feel accepted. I don't know. You feel loved. You feel those things that you're out in the world searching for.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. I'm just trying to give Heal and Lila, my little sister and brother, that same type of peace and comfort. And personally, I feel like I'm the only one who's equipped to do it because I'm a descendant of her, of my mom.
Right.
And it's like, a lot of people don't really know this, but we kind of the same person. Like,
yeah.
And so I just feel as though it's my job to make sure that my brother and sister experience something close to her. And I'm that. And I'm back.
Right. Period. Right. So I have to ask this because really I only know just me and you really who are so invested in their younger siblings.
Yeah.
So are you ready for the you're not my mama comment, that conversation? Because they're entering teenage years. And it's going to come, probably. It hasn't came from... Well, actually, I don't think it came for me yet. But I'm pretty sure it will. And it's a little bit different. It's a little different for your situation because my situation, they still have, you know, their parents right. there.
They still have those.
I'm not playing even close to as big of a role as you're playing right now. And then they're dealing with the loss of their mom also. And so, you know, not that they'll mean it, but you know how, you know, you react. Yeah, exactly. So are
they're
you
kids and, yeah. and they're so short, like tunnel vision
mm-hmm.
and don't have much worldly experience.
Right.
So that anger, I understand it.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd be more worried if I didn't see the anger.
Mm-hmm.
So and I also thank my background in education and in psychology and in human nature and understand, like it's almost like I was supposed to go to school to be able to understand what I'm dealing with now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, back to my path, my journey. Like, I just feel equipped. Can I cuss on here?
You can do. It's the All That podcast. You can do all that.
Keep that shit up. Please tell me you don't like me or I'm not your mama. Please. I eat that shit up. And I really want you to do that because I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you get upset. I want to hear how you represent yourself when you're upset. Because
right.
if I don't see it, I can't help you navigate it or mm-hmm. I can't help you train what is appropriate and what is not. Because we all gonna get angry. We all say things that we don't like. And I would rather you do it with me so I can help guide you through that than you just go off into the world angry. You
right.
know? So I have to see it. I want to see it.
So you're
willing. Let me know that you're upset.
You're willing to take the heat for, yeah.
For if it's going to help their development and mm-hmm. make them better people 20, 30 years from now, that means I'm going to have less work to do when y'all are adults.
Right.
Because either way it goes, you're going to pop up with these emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather see them now when we can train them than me and you just having this friendly relationship forever. And then you get into the real world and you're upset or
right.
you're mad and you're frustrated and you don't know how to deal with life.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not your mom
mm-hmm.
at all. But I have very good skills and life lessons to give you that your mother's not able to give you because
right.
she's not here.
Right.
I'm your sister and I want to keep it that way. But at
yeah.
the same time, you have to learn some of these things. And it's my responsibility and my father's responsibility to make that happen.
Right. So I think in retrospect, when me getting older, I'm realizing that my siblings kind of made me a better person from the perspective mm-hmm. of, I always try to set an image for them
yeah.
to come behind. And, you know, I watch how I carry myself around them and, you know, to give them, you know, because, you know, their parents are very much in their lives. But as their older sibling, I hold a different level of influence, like
mm-hmm.
because I'm closer to their age. They're looking at me like, you know, the cool factor because their parents are not going to be cool. Very
just,
rare.
But
yeah.
What's crazy is
but your mom was cool.
The coolest.
Yeah.
Parents are, well, my, I don't know, maybe
yeah.
I'm different.
No, once you get older, you realize that. But
yeah.
at their time, you know, they're looking at me, you know,
they're
I'm
the
yeah.
devil at that time.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know nothing.
Exactly.
Like.
Exactly. And so, you know, to them, I'm like a god in their eyes. And so I tried, you know, I always tried to carry myself a certain way. So did you see that with you that in retrospect, like, okay, me having this quote-unquote pressure or, you know, this influence kind of made me a better woman?
What's crazy, at first, I was like, you know, I got to be this person for them. I have to have this image. Mm-hmm. And then I recognized that me doing that, I was putting forth a lie. I would go in front of them and I'd be this one person. And then when I left them, I'd go out and I'd be
taking the mask off
for the streets.
Yeah.
I'd be in the club. You know what I mean? Like, I was lying to them. And children know that.
Yeah.
They knew I wasn't acting who I was when I got in front of them because Lala would call me out. Girl, that ain't you.
Of course she did.
And I had that type of family too.
Yeah.
So it's like I've had to work on not portraying a lie and actually being a better person. So yeah, they definitely showed me like some things you gotta stop, or some things is just not acceptable for your age. Some things are not to be done with younger people in your life.
Right.
And it just made me because if I'm doing it, they're gonna do it. Cause that's the coping skill that they see. Like if I'm drinking when I'm stressed, when they get stressed, what are they gonna do when it's age appropriate? They're gonna drink.
Right.
So it's like, it made me wanna say, I can't do this. And also on top of that, I have to be healthy and here and alive to take care of them.
Yeah.
Cause if I'm out not sleeping, staying up, like partying, you know, I'm not my best person for them. So now they're not getting breakfast in the morning, or they're not getting their hair done, or they're not getting dressed because I'm still in the bed.
Right.
So yes, they definitely showed me to be a better person, but I think I had to understand that I can't do both. I can't put that face forward and lie to them and then go out at night or be a bad person. You know what I mean? Like you just have to 100% commit because you have children, or because there's somebody who's looking to you for answers, for guidance, for comfort. And in order to be able to provide that to them, I have to be on top of my shit. Mm-hmm. I have to care about what I put forth into the universe.
Right.
Because it all matters.
Right. So I want to talk about this. I think another thing that's unique in the older sibling world, especially if your parents had you young, is that you experience things with your parents, because especially if they had you young, they're y'all growing up together pretty much.
We are growing up together.
So you see things that your younger siblings doesn't necessarily see. And for a lot of older siblings, we hold resentment in some ways that our younger siblings don't necessarily have, because by the time they came up, parents had matured, you know, more settled in adulthood.
They did that trial and error
with us. We were the guinea pigs.
What was gonna work and what wasn't.
Yes. So can you talk about being a guinea pig? Because it also was just you and your parents for a long time.
No, but see, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It was just me and my mom. You're
your mom.
For
yeah.
a long time.
Yeah.
So I didn't even see, and that's another thing. And I thank my mom for allowing me to have that relationship with her. But on some levels, as an adult now, I wish that there was a more mom-daughter relationship. And I wish that I was, I don't know, that was my best friend. But sometimes now that I'm an adult, I needed a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that, because she did a great job. But she was young, you know what I mean? And I didn't experience my parents being together.
Mm-hmm.
I watched my parents date other people, go out, have a good time. I was getting dropped off at grandma's house. You know?
Yeah.
And they were young. They were 23. They were out here, you know, trying to experience life. And I grew up in New Orleans, so we out here. Okay.
Right.
And to develop that type of friendship with my mom, I definitely learned a lot as a woman and as a Black woman with a voice, for sure, that can't nobody tell me nothing, and I'm gonna do what I want. And I'm a woman of luxury too. Like, I like expensive things. Like, it's, she just really taught me how to be a hot girl, honestly, but like a smart one, you know?
Right.
And then I really value who she became as a woman for real when she married my father and had Heal and Lila. So they have two completely different experiences than me. Like, I was really the guinea pig.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that, because in some ways I also raised my mom to be that woman and that wife and mother for my brother and sister, so that they didn't have to see any of that. So my parents, my brother and sister only saw a two-parent household and a business owner and a labor and delivery nurse. Like, right. You saw two influential people in the community who loved each other and worked it together. Versus me, I moved around a lot. I saw a lot of dysfunction. I saw fun. I saw their love when it was young. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that sometimes is kind of rowdy, but it teaches you a lot about the world.
Right.
And I'm just thankful that I was able to see them in that light as young people and be able to see them transition into adulthood, into being able to provide things that they didn't even think were possible. You know what I mean? At the time, they did not envision their lives being in Katy, Texas and being what it is now.
Right.
And so to see them transition into that and knowing that it's possible, no matter where you come from, I'm grateful for being able to see that and being their guinea pig, because it just shows me that life is really your journey. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever is destined for you, it will be, you know, you just gotta have to trust it.
Right. Did you ever feel like when Hill and Lila came into the picture, did you ever feel that your needs as a teenager were not met? Because one, it's now Jordan, do this, Judas, Jordan, pick up at your sister, pick up your Jordan, blah, 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 Jordan, 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 this, Jordan, that. But, you know, now you're put in this role of the help, you know, and your mom is trying to take care of these two young children. So that's probably, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but probably where the most of her energy is going toward at the time. Yeah. Because you're quote unquote of age, take care of yourself now, blah, blah, blah. So did you ever feel like your needs were not met because the focus was more on the younger siblings at the time, even when you were going through a transitional phase in your life? Because teenage years are very transitional years of anybody's life. Yeah, I was.
You were there for those.
Yeah. So did you ever feel like, man, you know, but you don't want to say anything because you know the responsibility that your mom had at the time.
I definitely was jealous mm-hmm. of my brother and sister early on. I definitely just naturally, because I went from being the only child, the center of everyone's universe. I had both sets of grandparents
mm-hmm.
and I was Jordan. And then for one set of grandparents, my dad is the only child too. So it was really just me. I didn't have no uncles, it was just me.
Right.
So for a long time, for a good 2-3 years, I say it was around the time Lila started walking, maybe. I was just like, me and Lila used to bump heads. Like a full 2-year-old and me used to go at it, because I don't know. We're just like that. I don't know. But I was jealous of them. And mm-hmm. I wanted my best friend back. Because for a long time, it was just me and my mom. Mm-hmm. So I wanted that relationship. And then as I'm getting older, I'm starting to realize, like, y'all are literally little versions of me. Like, I'm sitting here trying to argue with you guys when we could just really join forces
mm-hmm.
and be amazing, you know? And it took time. It definitely took time for me to see that. But I definitely wanted my mom's affection and love and attention back. But once I recognized that I could get that same kind of love and validation from just loving on them
mm-hmm.
and developing our relationship, it shifted. But it definitely took some growth on my end, because I was a kid.
Right.
I was 14, 15, mm-hmm. and I was spoiled. So all I knew was throw tantrums or do crazy shit so you can get attention.
Right.
And typical behavior for teenagers, but it was hard. And I think it would have been a different transitional period if me and my brothers and sisters were in the same age group.
Right.
The fact that we're 14 years apart, it really just puts a gap between us. But in retrospect, it's necessary for what we're doing now, for me being a substitute mom, for lack mm-hmm. of better terms, you know, it works.
Right.
And it's like, sometimes we don't know what life is going to bring to us, but we are getting the tools that we need in the process, because I needed those experiences in high school with going from an only child to being the oldest of two.
Right.
Or three.
I think also something as funny is that I was, you know, it's the disparity in discipline. So I mess with my dad all the time. Like the other day, my brother did something. I'm like, dude, nothing's gonna, like no whooping, no nothing. Like I got whoopings for the most menial, small thing. I was a good kid. I never got in trouble. But I got whoopings for the smallest things. Yes, I was a good kid. And these people would get away with murder. I swear.
Like, we were not drinking. We were not smoking. No. We used to look at people who were like,
yeah. We used to be at the house.
We were good kids.
We used to be at the house.
We would just go to people's houses and watch comedy shows. Exactly. Like, that was our thing. Like, for real.
Right.
And they treated us like we were criminals.
Right.
like we were trying to murder people.
Right.
And now, the younger ones are literally criminals.
Exactly.
I don't know if you watch TikTok, but they're stealing for fun. And I'm just like, we're not going to do nothing about this.
Right. What's going on?
Do I got to beat them?
Exactly. That's my thing. That's what I told my brother. I was like, you know what? They not going to whoop you. I'm going to whoop you.
I'm going to whoop you.
Yeah, because this ain't fair. At all.
I'm just so scared that eventually, like, I'm so scared, bro, that I'm going to be the only one here to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody's going to be older and, you know, just old or gone. And it's going to be on me to watch these juvenile delinquents. And I'm just not going to have it. Like, no, not on my watch. Not on my watch.
Right. So let's go back to something we kind of alluded to earlier when I was talking about the oldest sibling having the cool factor for the younger siblings. And you said, you know, the parents are the cool ones. So, but we learned that as we matured. So when did you really see for your mom and your dad, like you came into that realization, like, damn, my dad is dope. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're really dope. When did you come to that realization?
College. Like once I got out their house, and mm-hmm. I was able to move how I wanted to move, and I could talk to especially my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my father and me's relationship, we are working on it. You know what I mean? We're working on developing that close-knit relationship I have with my mom.
Yeah, he's more reserved.
He's so much more reserved.
Yeah.
Like, but what's crazy is my fiance is the same way. Like,
wow.
Like, it's hard to explain. Like, they are the exact same person. Like, they only talk when it's necessary, and even when they do talk, it's gonna be something hilarious,
right?
But it's like it's spaced out. You're not gonna get much.
Yeah,
but when you get it, it's quality,
right?
You know what I mean? Versus my mom and me, we're just the social butterfly. Like,
yeah,
I talk to everybody about anything.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. So what was the question?
It was when did you come to the realization that your parents were cool?
College.
Yeah,
for sure. College. Like, I kind of knew my mom was cool, but she was just so strict.
Yeah.
And I genuinely believe it was because I was a cute black girl in mm-hmm. a predominantly white area, and I had no knowledge on how dangerous that could be. So right. She wouldn't let me leave the house, you recall. And when I got to college and I was able to do all those things, my mom just made a complete turnaround. Like, everything was just fun. We were going to the club together.
Right.
We was drinking. Like, we was having, like, that became my best friend. Like, she would come to the football games. She would come out to Mississippi because she also went to Jackson State, and so did my father. So we were just a duo. Like, we were going everywhere together. Homecoming, we wearing matching outfits, and I'm 20, 21, and I'm doing this with my mama proudly.
Right.
Okay. Because she was a baddie. What's crazy is, if I brought my mama, we was getting more things. Like, yeah. She was the one I wanted to be with.
Right.
Like, it was my mama. Like,
beautiful.
And that's when I recognized that she was, like, the one. Like, for real.
Right. Let's...
Daddy, we're working on it.
Yeah.
He's just so reserved. Like, right. What do we even talk about? Like,
right. How do I get this man to open up?
Even when I'm trying to talk to him, he's just like, well, you know, that's life. Do you need anything? Like, he's such a solution-oriented person. It's
right.
Not about the conversation. He's genuinely like, what do I need to do to fix it? And that's a beautiful type of support, too. It's just not emotional, you know?
Right. Lastly, if you could sum up what being the oldest sibling has taught you in one sentence, what would it be?
Patience. I ain't even got a sentence.
That's one word. Patience.
Patience. Because before I didn't, like... I had no patience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything, even going through school, like, I didn't know how to take a break. Like, I was going fall, spring, summer, like, dating. In any type of thing, I was always like, gotta get it, gotta move. I want to be this, that, and the third by 25. I had all these plans. And then life hits, and it's like, girl, you can't plan nothing.
Nope.
And also, take it slow. Like, enjoy all of this.
Yeah.
Because you just never know. And so building those relationships with my brother and sister and seeing, like, there's no reason to rush any of this. Like, it just really taught me to embrace the moment, enjoy the moment, appreciate the moment, and take it slow.
Right.
Everything is not a race.
Right. So thank you for coming on. I want to say that, you know, it's very admirable what you're doing, because even though personally you feel like it's just the next progression, but, you know, a lot of people, I feel like would, you know, be, and it's not even a bad thing, but would be selfish in their grief and kind of self-centered and, you know, only focusing on them instead of, you know, focusing on other people. So what you're doing is admirable to me. I know I was supposed to be closing, but one more question because I just thought of it. Do you feel like you going back home and filling in for your mom is a way to stay close to your mom?
Oh, for sure. Oh. Like, I was running, baby. Like, me coming back to Mississippi and staying and trying to develop a family and trying to get married and trying to do all these things and live life. Yes, those are my life steps, and that's what you're supposed to do as you get older. But a lot of this was done because I did not want to face realities. Like, I didn't want to have to go into that same house that she was living in every day and try to exist there. I wasn't trying to see her pictures hanging up. Like, I was in a place where I couldn't handle it. So I needed that self-isolation. I needed to be out here developing the emotional support that I get from my fiance and just focusing on me in order to be strong enough to give that strength to someone else. So had I went back home a year ago or 2 years ago, I wouldn't have been strong enough or able to even have this conversation that we're having. I would not have been able to have a full conversation about my life circumstances a year ago.
No, for sure, because I hit you up about doing an episode kind of centered around that, and you was like, I'm not ready. Yeah.
I couldn't.
Right.
Because I'd get on here and I'd probably break down. But through therapy and through meditation and through just self-awareness, it's time. You know, I'm prepared. I did my training spiritually. You know, I'm ready to be that catalyst for my family. And it's just like, I'm thankful enough that I had the support to get myself together, to be a stronger woman for them. And nobody pressured me or made me feel bad for running, you know?
Right.
And it's just, I'm thankful. But yeah, definitely emotionally needed some time before coming back home.
So thank you, Jordan, for coming on. It was this is a great episode. I think you laid some good gems down. And I am not curious, but I am expecting to see greatness from this new role that you're taking on with your younger siblings. And also, selfishly, I'm excited that you are moving back home. So, all right.
I want to thank you, Kyrie, for just all, like, people don't know this, but me and you, we've been rocking a decade just about, baby. We've been rocking a decade.
Yeah.
Longer than a decade. We've been rocking, like, 2010.
Yeah, yeah. Nine, really. Like, yeah.
You was there for granny passing. Like, I just thank you. Yeah. Even though, you know, sometimes we would go without speaking, like, the relationship never folded.
It always pick back up where it left
always
off.
Always there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's effortless. And I thank you for always being there. Even what you do for my brother and sister. Them doing golf now, they're loving it, by the way. You know how hard it is to get them interested in something?
That's what your dad was saying. These kids ain't interested in nothing.
They're not interested in anything.
Yeah.
But games. And they're like, when is my next golf lesson? And I would not have met who I needed to meet without you. And I just thank you for always being there.
Right. So I don't want your granny and your mama haunting me. So I have to, because right before your granny passed away, she pulled me to the side and she was like, you know, I need you to take care of Jordan. And you know me, I'm trying to be motivational. I'm like, you know, you go pull through. She's like, no, like, look,
no,
I need you to take care of Jordan. And I was like, all right. So I don't want to, you know, that's some strong women.
Because I'm trying to tell you, both of them are strong enough to beat the afterlife. I promise you, I'm convinced that they be coming back when they want to.
Facts.
And I look for their energy. I feel for it, and mm-hmm. I embrace it, and I thank you because. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been a real one since day one.
Yeah.
But I'm so proud of you, too.
Thank you.
Keep doing it.
But all right. So, yeah, that's it for this episode of All That Podcast, guys. Thanks again, Jordan. Love you.
Love you, too. Y'all have a great day.
All right. Peace.
Bye.